Good morning. So we're going to do our service a lot differently. If you were here last week, we talked about Jesus's I am statements in the Gospel of John. And today we're going to read the last few verses of John. And then we're going to have a big chunk of time where we're worshiping and giving testimonies about what Jesus has done in our life. And I'm going to coach you through it, but it's going to be a different sort of Sunday. I'm excited to see what happens with it. So first, I want us, if you got a Bible, turn to John chapter 21. We're going to be in just the last few verses of the book. So if you've been coming to Maywood throughout the last 2 years, you're like, yep, we did it. We read every verse in the Gospel of John. So we're going to read these last few verses, and then rather than a big tip on how to put it into practice outside of these walls, today we're just going to put this stuff into practice right now together. So Nick, if you can help me, I think we got these verses up here on the screen. So John 21, starting in verse 23, Peter's talking to Jesus, and he's talking about, don't be so worried about what happens to John. If I want him to remain alive till I return, what's that to you? It says, because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple, the disciple who wrote the gospel, would not die. We'll go on to the next. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? And then in verse 24, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. So the person who wrote the Gospel of John is getting some help, obviously, because there's a plural in this verse. There's a we writing it. But there's this idea that even after John has died, this testimony that he's given gets to live on, right? And the people that knew John knew him well enough to say, like, this is real. And there's a power that comes from knowing the person who's telling you a story about Jesus. And obviously, the Bible is this gift that God has given us. It's God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. It's special. But there's also something to do where, like, we can know each other, and because we know each other, it's great to hear stories of what Jesus has done in our life. Like, the testimonies don't stop just because the Bible is finished, right? The testimonies keep going. So this idea today, we're going to get to hear stories straight from people that we know about what has Jesus done in my life. Last verse we're going to read in John, the end of the gospel says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. So even a couple thousand years ago, almost, people could say, Jesus did too much for me to even be able to share with you, right? To just coach you for a minute. In your life, if you've been following Jesus for more than a few seconds, Jesus has done more than you can probably share in one sitting, right? Don't feel this pressure, like, I got to tell everybody my whole everything. When John wrote the Gospel of John, he's saying, I left a bunch of stuff out, right? But I wrote these things down so that you could believe in Jesus and have life in his name. And today when we're going to give testimonies, all you should have, probably when you sat down, you saw these little sheets. And what these little sheets are about is to kind of guide you on how to do a testimony today. I know we're not going to get to be able to share our whole life stories because we want a lot of people to be able to share. But we got kind of a 1, 2, 3 here. And I think maybe there's a slide of it of kind of, if you don't have it for some reason, I think most of you do. But number one is you say, I felt, and then you fill in that sentence or two. And tell us the specifics of the pain that you were in before Jesus did something in your life. You know, last week I read something from John Steinbeck. I can remember a Steinbeck book where he starts off and he introduces a character, and you could tell a million details about a character, but what he tells about is like this particular razor that the guy's using when he shaves. He gives a real specific detail to help you get to know this person. For you, you can't tell us your whole life, but give us one or two specific details that show how much it hurt, right? Like when I heard somebody talk about, I said this the last week too, but the fastest way to get through a town, if you're walking, is through the railroad tracks. Like, you know, like, well, that person's traveled around a lot on foot, right, to figure that out. Like, that's just one sentence, but it shares a lot, right? So if you're thinking about sharing today, if you want to give glory to Jesus, think about what's one or two details that shows the pain I was in. Like maybe you never thought your mom would turn her back on you, but things have gotten so bad she shut a door in your face, said you can't stay here. And that says a lot, even though it's only a couple sentences, right? So that's the first part. You share the pain, which is a couple sentences. Second part, it's worth our time to just read what's right there in the Bible. What did Jesus say about himself? And you can flip to it and in the Bible yourself if you want, but I put it right here on the sheet for you. You just read it right off the sheet. And these are I am statements from Jesus. In your testimony, you're not going to get to share all of these statements, but you pick one and say, "What was Jesus your good shepherd?" You read that verse. And then number three, this is where you want to spend your time when you're up here, even though your time is, I'm hoping, you know, just short so we can do a lot of these. It's tell us what Jesus did that shows that he's the good shepherd. Tell us what Jesus did that filled you up like the bread of life, right? Doesn't have to be huge, but be specific. So before you come up here, you can be praying about, like, Jesus, what's the specific detail to share? What's the verse to share? And what did you do? I was already talking to a lady today. I hope she gets up and speaks. She's like, "I know I want to speak about Jesus being the good shepherd, but I've got this amazing story from 20 years ago. I got this amazing story from 2 years ago. I don't know which one to share." You might have a lot of stories, but ask Jesus, "Jesus, which one do you want me to share today?" Because Jesus knows everybody that's in the room. He knows everybody watching on Facebook. He knows the right one to share, right? And so we're going to do a few testimonies. I'm going to hand you this wireless mic. So Donnie and Mike, you guys are right there, so you're my helper, sorry. But we got these mics here. Mike's over there. Turn it on. You just got to hold it strong. Donnie's over there. Thank you for serving. Yeah. So what they're going to do, they're going to hand you a mic. You're going to come up here. We might have to form lines or something, but when you grab a hold of this mic, you just need to hold it real close. If you hold it down here, then you have, everyone's like, "What?" Right? So you didn't even know what I said right there, right? If you hold it down too low, no one will know what you're saying. So hold it real close. We're not scared of each other, right? Just hold it real close and share your story. We're going to do a few of these, and then the worship team is going to lead us in a time of response of like singing. Then we're going to share a few more. And then honestly, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But like the rhythm we're going to start is like a few testimonies and then singing and then a few testimonies and then singing. And Daniel and I are going to try to listen to God as that happens. So hopefully you understand what's about to happen. I'm going to say a prayer for us. And then anybody that wants to share, you can come up and just start forming a line either with Donnie or with Mike. And then I'll kind of point to you like, okay, let's go from this side and then that side, okay? So again, we're telling stories about what Jesus has done in our life. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for everybody that's in this room and watching on Facebook. Jesus, guide us as we share about you. The thing that's most important for each one of us is that we know you better. I pray that at the end of this testimony time, all of us would know you, Jesus, and know you better than we do right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So anybody that wants to come up is welcome to come up. And like I said, it's kind of form a line on those steps and on those steps.
First off, I was always taught to admit your weaknesses first. First off, my name's Ryan Paulson, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic and addict. I've now celebrated 3 years and 3 months without the use of any hardcore narcotics or alcohol. Please keep it down to a minimum. It's a small start. It's not 25 years. It's not 30 years. It's a start. They say the average is if you get 3 years in the program, that's a chance that you'll never take a drink or a drug ever again in your life. So 3 years is a good start. But I've joined the No Matter What Club, and that's called, it's secret in the program, but it's, you don't take a drink or a drug no matter what. Even if your butt falls off, you just pick it up and get it to a meeting and they'll stitch it back on for you. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. At age 17, I enlisted into the United States Navy out of Van Horn High School, class of 2007, early enlistment program. I shipped to Great Lakes, Chicago, Illinois in September. I had already had a taste for alcohol and a little left-handed cigarette with green tobacco in it, you know. No, no, don't clap for that. Don't clap for that. Yes. The best verse in here, I think, is possible, is John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If there was no sacrifice with Jesus, there would be no us. It's the agape love that we all have, that we all can reach out and get, and it's free to everyone, but you just have to be willing to accept it, and acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. Today I'm actually able to look at myself in the mirror and like myself a little bit and not want to stick a steak knife in my arm and end it all, because that's what I did at age 23. I thought my life was spent. I thought alcohol and drugs were the way out of everything. You know, it was the answer to every problem. But that was just a catalyst on everything. I was the problem. Alcohol and drugs are not the problem. My way of coping with life was the problem. But God's the answer. He's the safety net. You guys are the safety net, which keeps us all together. I love you guys. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hi, my name's Marie, and I've been coming to this church a long time, and I haven't been here in a while. But my husband I got married on November 1st and spent my honeymoon in the ICU with my husband. He had open heart surgery. And he made it through the surgery. But he's very depressed. And we struggle. I have a hard time taking care of him, but I love him. And he's not a good patient right now. But that's okay. You know, I have to be, it says here that Jesus declared, I'm the bread of the life. Whoever comes to me will not grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I have to have surgery coming up on my ankle. I'm in recovery. I have 2 days off of everything, except pain medicine that's prescribed to me. And what happened was my husband came home with his oxycodone, and I took one. I took two, actually, because I was in pain. But my sponsor said I had to start my recovery all over again. And before that, I had 5 months off of marijuana. And before that, I had years off of all other drugs. But this surgery that I'm having, I did a shot of drugs in my foot. And my boyfriend at the time, his daughter was jealous of me, so she gave me some bad drugs, and I did them in my foot. And I almost died. I was in a very dark place. I went to a very, very dark place. And I remember I couldn't talk, and I just kept telling my mom, Mom, please don't let him cut off my foot. Just don't let him cut off my foot. And I'm sorry, they didn't cut off my foot. My foot is still here. But the doctors say if I don't quit smoking cigarettes, which I have a patch on, I haven't had a cigarette. Well, I took a couple drags last night off of the cigarette. So it's one day, okay? I'm starting over today for the cigarettes. But the doctor said if I don't quit smoking cigarettes and I don't get my A1C down, there's a possibility I could still lose my foot. So I'm trying to quit smoking. So everybody in the church and everybody around the world who's watching this, please pray for me. I need help. Because it's like getting off heroin. That's what they tell me. Everybody tells me. It's the worst thing to get off of. It's so hard. And it's my only coping mechanism. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Roberts, and I want to testify to the matchless power of Jesus over addiction. In 1981, after alcohol had almost killed me three times, I got on my knees in the bedroom and just said, Lord, I can't do it anymore, and turned it over to him. And immediately, the bondage was lifted. It's indescribable. I went walking down the street past the liquor store, no desire to go in there, and that was 1981, and praise God for his power. He will do it for you.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was headed to youth camp with a bus full of teenagers, and I thought I wasn't going to make it for the rest of the week. This was about 9 years ago. It was one of my first youth camps that I got to go to. Little did I know, I was going to go to a bunch more, and they were going to be amazing. The I am statement is I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That was the verse for the whole week we were there. And the theme was to abide in Jesus. And what happened to me was I learned how to abide in Jesus. They taught us how to sit with the Lord and how to read scripture in ways that I didn't know before. But also, they taught our students that, and it was so cool. On the way home, we stopped at McDonald's because we always stop and get them fast food on the way home. And we're sitting there eating as our group, which is kind of crazy. And one of our students, we noticed, was standing over here praying with one of the McDonald's employees. And nobody asked her to do that. She just got up and did it on her own. So she learned through remaining in Jesus like that she has the strength to go and talk to somebody that she saw hurting that day.
Hello, my name is Judy. Back in 2003, I lost my dad, and it was one of the most painful things I'd ever went through. And my verse is, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Well, I probably didn't say that right, but that's okay. But at first, he didn't have any insurance. I'm like, oh, great. So how are we going to pay for this? And my husband's like, God will take care of it. And boy, did God ever take care of it. Even though it was a tragic loss, God was amazing. He provided all the money that we needed to pay for his funeral, and it was just awesome. So it was beautiful. Thank you.
I'm Jesse, and I felt empty at one time in my life. I made a lot of bad decisions and hung out with a lot of bad people, and I remember I was like 16, 17, and I just felt empty. I felt nothing inside. I would look around and everything was black and white and there was no light or nothing. And so I picked John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So today, life is a lot different. I get to hang out with people, and I see color today. I see, you know, people that love me for me, and, you know, it's just amazing. So, praise God.
My name is Rosario Metzger, and I felt dead. Then he resurrected me. Then he loved me more than I had ever felt loved before. And I got that was the first time that he did that to me. And he has been there a lot through my life since then. And I know now that he had always been there, but I didn't know. First, he loved me so much, he put me in prison. And then he saw me, I mean, that I was broken, and I was like a wild animal. Now I understand it. You know, when you see a stray dog and he's attacking and trying to hurt everybody, you lock him up. And that's all he did. And he locked me up because he loved me so much. They sentenced me 35 years in prison. Woke me up. And Jesus delivered me in 21 months.
That's right. Hallelujah!
And I just want to remind you that every time the devil attacks, you have to remind yourself he's the same God that delivered me back then. He's the same God that brought his people out of Egypt. He's the same God that opened the Red Sea. It's us that minimize him. Because he is able. My son died, and I felt dead again. But I have to remind myself. My daughter went back to using after 4 years clean, a baby, and college. And I had to remind myself. And we are supposed to pray in unity, and that's why I like this church. And I just wanted to tell you that I see God in my life every day, no matter when I'm down and when I'm up. He's always there. Just don't minimize him, and he will take you through the storm. I just wanted to say that all the verses go with my life, all of them. But the one on the resurrection and being dead and getting resurrected, and the one that I am the truth and the life, the branches, the vine, I mean, he's there and he's the bread of life. We just have to take a deep breath. But that doesn't mean he never said you're not going to go through the pain. I mean, who do we think we are better than him? He went through a lot of pain for us. why can't we go through pain after we mess up? And he didn't do anything. Just got to remember he paid full price and tell the devil to go away. Because Jesus is with you. Yep. Thank you.
Whoa, you turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies, yeah. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies, oh. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who, you're the only, you're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Amen.
All right, I'm Joseph. Hey. So I felt like the whole time I was growing up, like I knew God. I went to a Baptist church, and you know, I still got lost in my addiction. You know, 30 years went by, and then I felt like I wasn't worthy. You know, I prayed out to God and I cried out to Him, and I didn't feel like He was going to answer my prayers. And then so this is my verse. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. It says, do you believe this? So I really did. I got sober at Maple House. I started coming here, and it was whenever I got baptized. And I really started putting Jesus into everything in my life. And whenever I started putting Him in every situation, it was like I didn't need to cry out to Him anymore. I had Him right there. I didn't have to sit there and feel like He's just some supernatural being. I felt like He was a real person that lived here on the earth, and I really accepted that as the truth. And then that's where my whole life really started changing. I felt really blessed that I really do know God now. And I feel like that if I just keep on pushing my relationship with Him to be in every aspect of my life, that I'm truly going to be happy. And being able to share that with people, it's really a blessing to not have to find my own happiness through all my own ventures. And I help others, and that's where that happiness stays really close to my heart. So I really do think Jesus has blessed my life. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Billy K. Robinson, and when I was 14, way back then in the early 1970s, I was in utter despair. I had been baptized in the fourth grade. I was 14 and couldn't see a light out. I decided I was going to commit suicide because there was nothing else to do. And I called who I thought was my best friend, and I told her I was gonna kill myself. And she said, well, Billy, if you're gonna do that, will you please burn all the notes that I've passed you in common learning so I don't get in trouble with my parents after you're dead? And I said, okay. So I hung up the phone and burned her notes and took 350 aspirin, which I thought would kill me. And whether or not it should have, I don't know, but I vomited for 2 days. And my verse is John 10, 9 through 11. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, 2 days of dry heaving. My mom thought I had the flu, never did tell her. I look up, I'm laying on her couch, I look up, and Jesus was sitting there right beside me, and he put his arms around me and told me, this is not what we do. And I could feel just the best calm and touch, and I could turn and look up into his eyes. And I said, okay. And then throughout my life, I have been blessed and graced. Sometimes I've wanted to die, but I've never done it. I've always found a way to walk through, and I have been blessed, and I wanted to share that blessing with you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sean, and I'm an alcoholic and addict. That's a much bigger crowd. I've served time in the penitentiary over 22 years. I'm on probation now, but in my addiction, I thought I knew him. No. You can know all the scripture here, but not know it here. This is how much the Lord loved me. He threw me in the grass in Branson, and I had a stroke from methamphetamine. And now I take psychotropic meds twice a day. Don't want to, but I have to. And if I can get clean and sober at 47 years old, anyone can. May 18th is my mother's birthday. And I sat behind a garbage can after being let out of the hospital from having a stroke. I found myself and put myself in a program willingly because that's where he steered me to. I figured it would be a really good birthday present for my mom. And I'm up here today to speak to you because I'm working through barriers and breaking down those walls of antisocial behavior. So I am growing. And the verse that I chose today is, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's where I learned that self-will accomplishes you nothing, but his will grants you everything. And for a long time, I told the Lord, I was like, man, I want to speak in front of a congregation. I want to be a part of a congregation. Thanks, fella. Oops. So now I'm a part of a church. And now I'm a part of a family that loves me for who I am and not what I can give you. Amen. I come from a big Irish family. Yeah. One side's Protestant, the other side's Catholic. You think that worked out? Here I am. But when you hit your knees and you say, God, I can't do this, while you're getting high and you say, God, take this from me. Hey, man, it's time to stop. If not, man, guess what? There's only one or two ways this leads. Penitentiary or death, take your pick. Because the people that you were hanging out with, man, were not your friends. That's your friend. For it says in footsteps, when you only see one set, it's because he carries this every day. That's why you see one set of footprints.
I couldn't do nothing. I've been brought up bad. I had a bad marriage, first one. I was in a bad situation with my parents. Both of my parents are gone now. My grandparents are gone. But before they left this world, I forgave all of them for everything they've done. They were young. They didn't know what it was, how to raise kids back in the day. So I got remarried in September 27th, 23, to a wonderful man. He loves me. He takes care of me. He tells me he loves me every single day. Before I go to work, he says, "Be careful, hon. Come back when you can. I love you." He constantly calls me just to check up on me. I didn't know there was people out there like that. And my passage is John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I've been coming to Maywood over 3 years. I've been on the third team for the last year. I'm just blessed that what I do, I work at a daycare. I take care of infants all the way up to 5-year-olds. I pray for them every day before I see these kids. I pray for the teachers, the staff, and I didn't do this before. I never prayed for nothing. So since I've been coming to Maywood, I feel like a better person. I feel like I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm caring, I'm loving. All you people out here, we're all family, no matter what. Skin is just color. So I just want to say amen, God, I love you. Thank you, Maywood, for coming into my life.
My name is Ryan, and back in September of 2023, I felt completely lost. I felt no direction. I felt like my life was definitely in jeopardy. It was in bad shape, and I ended up going to a hospital and checking myself in and seeing what exactly was going on. And I had several mental issues and drug addiction, of course. And whenever I met Dr. Wu, he gave me the direction of joining the Good Foundation. And the statement that I'm going with is, I am the bread, of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When I first was out there on the streets, I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. I didn't know how I was going to be dressed or if I was going to be able to shower. And through the good foundation, it has made it to where I don't have to worry about where my next meal is going to be coming through. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to have clean clothes. Maywood has helped me through donations of clothes and food, and through the good foundation just has made it to where I don't have to worry about where my next meal is going to be coming from or the safety of my my future. And that's what I got.
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Kathy, and I've been lost many a times during my bulimic time and during my abusing of my husband and my fiance. But I think when I was totally lost, it was in the life due to my son being incarcerated, because I couldn't help him. So I picked, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows will walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So what Jesus did was, I was handed a brochure one time. Did you go to a Kairos? So I went on that weekend, and I learned that Jesus was speaking to me all the time, but I never realized it. So now that I know that I'm a child of God, that he has put me through all the experiences that I have taken, but I've always come on top because I'm here and I'm able to speak to others.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Matthew. I'm kind of newer at this church, but I thought I'd share. Let's see, so I was molested as a child, and I think from the trauma of that situation, it really catapulted me into a homosexual lifestyle. I grew up in church, so I knew of God, but I didn't really know God personally. But I knew enough to know that if I'm really going to serve God, like, this is something I'm going to have to lay down for him, which I thought he was very deserving from everything I learned about him. So I wanted to do it, but I told God, I was like, you know, maybe when I'm like 25, like, let me just have a little fun. Let me see how this is. And so that's what I did first. The verse I chose is John 10, 9 through 11. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So I feel like through that trauma that my identity was stolen, and I had to go through this process of coming to know my value in God. And I'm so thankful for his relentless love. I feel like when I was 18, that's when I made that statement. Like, I just give me till I'm like 25, and you know, then I'll serve you. It ended up being when I was 25 that the Lord encountered me in a crazy way. But all along that 18 to 25, so many people spoke to me about Jesus, and I'm so, so thankful. I'm always thanking God for those people. But coming to him, I just told him, I really want to know you. I don't want to just know about you. I really want to know you and serve you the way you want to be served. And through that process, like, God has really restored my identity. He's taught me about who he says that I am. And, you know, it's, you know, the world has a narrative, but God has, you know, a much better word to say to each and every one of us. And so through that process, he's taught me that I'm complete in him. I was made for him. We were all made for him in a unique way.
Thank you.
what really sticks out to me about this verse is just that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he comes to give us life and life more abundantly. God has given me a life I could have never have imagined with the trajectory that it was going in before Jesus. I'm now married and I have children. Never would have thought. Never. If you would have asked me when I was 18, it was not possible. It's literally the supernatural grace of God that has gotten me to this point. And I'm not saying the culmination of your Christian life, if someone has same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria, whatever, is that you need to then become this heterosexual person who goes on to get married. No, Jesus is calling you to himself, and you are complete in Jesus. Getting married, if that happens, is a bonus, a beautiful bonus, but he's calling you to himself to be holy and to live a life together with him. So I'm just so thankful for God and giving me life and life abundantly. That's my wife right there and my baby.
Hi, I'm Shalia. I'm Matthew's wife. But more importantly, I'm God's daughter. Yes. And I felt abandoned, rejected, and those feelings turned to anger and hatred really quickly. My dad and I had kind of a close relationship when I was really little, but as I got older and he and my mom got a divorce, it felt like he was going through a divorce with me, which was so strange to me, and he was just really mean. Like, he did a lot of things to purposefully hurt me. He would corner me and like just speak so much death over me, and he just wouldn't let me go until he saw me in tears. And when I was a part of a ministry in college. It was a dance ministry, and before we would practice, the leader would give us like something that she learned from a sermonette or, you know, just something that the Lord was talking to her about throughout the week. And one of the times that really stuck out to me was, you know, she was talking about forgiveness, and she was saying like, forgiveness, when you know you really forgiven someone when you can go to lunch with that person and, you know, you treat them and you feel like nothing ever happened. And so she challenged us to call somebody that we knew we needed to forgive. And so I called my dad. And the conversation was kind of dry. It wasn't like we had this amazing, you know, like reunion or whatever, but my heart felt so free after that. And the verse that I chose is John 14:6. Yeah. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I'm just so thankful for Jesus being that access point for me to the Father. Like, I felt like I lost the natural Father, but the spiritual Father that I gained, like, if my dad was around, I don't think I would have really been able to receive like from the Lord as my father the way that I have with him not being around. It made me like really depend on him being my father, you know, and looking to him to see what a father is. And he's a perfect father. And so that was just
my name is Donnie. So I was looking at these windows right here, and I was noticing how much light it's kind of amplified through the windows and how the light surrounds everybody in this room. My entire life up until about 8 years ago was surrounded by a dark, like I lived in the dark. It was a dark world. The underground was a really dark place. Everything that I could see visually was evil. It really wasn't anything that made you feel comfortable or like a place you wanted to stay. My darkness and the lifestyle I was living actually led me in through these doors and this building. And and the it's crazy how light can completely just take dark away, right? Like, and light for me was love, being surrounded by the people that really loved me until I could learn to love myself. In this building particularly was something that it had to have been godlike. It was my first witness of what God really is. So John 8:12 was when Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am literally surrounded by love every day. I'm surrounded by people just like you every day now. I'm surrounded by the love of my kids, the love of my family, the love of my friends, the love of the people that just they want to love just as much as me. And now we all have each other, and it's all Jesus, right? Jesus fills each and every one of our hearts with love, because that's what you feel. When you've got Jesus in your heart, that's what you feel. You feel love. And I never want to leave it, man. I never want that gone out of my life, ever.
Thank you guys each for sharing. And we've got one last thing to do today. So before we get to this baptism, I think Eddie is coming down with Brian for the baptism. Here's the thing about testimonies is we prayed before those testimonies that we would know Jesus better. We don't just have to give testimonies when we've got a microphone. Like, you're going to see other people this week who know Jesus and see them as like, can you tell me a story about Jesus so I can know Jesus better? Like, see other people that way. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you we got to be at church today. And Jesus, thank you that you're alive and active everywhere in this world. Help us to keep sharing testimonies about what you do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.